Matthew chapter 12 for a second before we go to Jonah. So we're going to be in Jonah, right? If you were here Wednesday, we left Jonah somewhere. Amen? Where do we leave him? Left him floating, didn't we? He's in the water. We cast him out. Amen? I was thinking that Isaac was married to Rachel. Is that correct? Some Bible scholar, hurry up. Rachel? Nope. Which one? Rebecca, thank you. Sometimes women's names just in the Bible, sometimes they'll get them all mixed up. But Rebecca, right? Remember when Rebecca was brought to Isaac? She was riding up. Isaac was looking out, wasn't he? Looking out over his field. When they were singing that song, that's what I was thinking of. It says she lit off the camel. Literally fell head over heels for Isaac, right? She had never seen him before. But she knew exactly who he was. We're singing about Jesus. We don't know what he looks like. Some people say, well, I'll tell you what he looks like. Well, John's seen him. He explained him really well. Amen? Isaiah's seen him. He explained him real. Ezekiel's seen him. Explained him really well. But when he explains him, I can't exactly tell you what he exactly looks like. But once you see him, golly, once you come into his land, amen? We're not in his land now. We're not in his land. He's gonna take this creation and burn it up and create it new, but there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. One of these days, you're going to be delivered into his land. You're going to be the bride that he chose, and he's going to bring you into his land. And when you see him, you won't ever have to say, who is that? You'll say, that's the husband. That's Jesus. That's the one. Do you know when we die, angels don't meet us? Jesus does. Beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Beautiful in the sight of the Lord is the of His saints. I left out a word. What was it? Oh, wait a minute. You think God's got a thing for death? I didn't say dying, did I? Never. Golly. Well, I don't know what kind of church you go to. I don't know what kind of church you wanted this morning, but this is the kind of church you're getting. Amen? Amen? Listen. He don't like the fact that we have to die because of what Adam done in the garden. He don't like that part. But he does like the part when you draw your last breath, the same breath that he placed in your lungs. When he breathed life into your dirt, when he breathed life into this dirt, into this dust, God took the he got the dust. He said, I'm going to make man from the dust. Scientists say, we can recreate man. We can do this, we can do that. But I guarantee you, you take a lump of dirt into a scientific room, lay it on the table and say, do something with it. Matter of fact, you could go a step further and say, hey, matter of fact, why don't you, since you can do so much, why don't you create yourself some dirt? Man, God, go a step further than that. Most household dirt is really what? And go, where does that dust come from? Anybody want to take a stab at that one? Skin. Skin. Makes you wonder who you let in your house, right? From dust you came, dust you'll return. Amen? God says the moment you take your last breath, the minute you take your last breath, the second, all of a sudden it was like you were a blind man. You're going to open your eyes. If you're a born-again child of God, you're going to open your eyes up in glory and you'll see Jesus there and you'll say, oh my God. See, some of you right now, you have people who have passed away and you mourn for them because your relationship with them was so tight and so twisted together, because God wants you to love deep, care deep, and love each other and have compassion and everything for each other. But the very moment they get into glory, I guarantee you this, you couldn't get any of them to come back here. What they would tell you is, I'm not coming back there. I'm preaching to somebody right now. I'm not coming back there. If you got a loved one who passed away and you're not saved, they ain't coming back here. You need to get your heart right and go see them. Amen? Y'all ready to get in the book of Jonah? It's amazing what one song will do. Amen? When sung for the Lord. I'm sitting there thinking, man, I can't wait to see Jesus. Amen. I'm so ready, man. Somebody says, you want the whole world in? The Bible says when you pray, says when the praise says, your kingdom come. Amen? Your will be done. But at first it says, your kingdom come. Yeah, it's okay to say, God, it's time. Amen? All right, come on. What kind of church are we going to? You ain't preaching what you said you was going to preach. I'll preach everything I got. And if it sticks, praise God, let it stick. If it don't, pray. Yeah. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 39 says, "But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah." Amen? That's good. "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Y'all good? Let me read one more verse. Verse 41. "Then the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here." I'm glad I put that last part in there. Amen? Now you can go back to Jonah in the Old Testament. Jonah chapter 1 verse 16 is where we're going to be if I can get there. Amen? Aren't you glad this morning that when Jesus spoke of Jonah, he did not speak of any of his flaws of the Old Testament? He didn't speak of him going in the wrong direction. He didn't speak of him going down. He didn't speak of him going to Tarshish. He didn't speak of him being in the whale's belly other than the fact that he was there. Amen? He didn't say, "I had to wear him out. I had to get him low. And I had to spit him out." He didn't say any of that. He didn't bring up any of the fact that when he did get to Nineveh, that he didn't behave well. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't behave himself. God, was somebody... He didn't behave himself well down there in Nineveh. Right? All he brought up was what he preached. Do you know what Jonah preached in Nineveh? Repentance. Repentance. That's all he did. He got down there and he said, "Listen, I want y'all to get this so much this morning." Jonah went down there and he didn't even believe that the word of God would work on the people of Nineveh. Sometimes in our hearts and minds, we don't believe the Word of God will work. But we don't have to believe it because it does work. So he just went down there and he went to the Ninevites. And I think I told y'all this on Wednesday. If y'all don't remember, this is modern day Syria, and this would be like ISIS. Terrorist. So before you get on your high horse about Jonah and say, Jonah should have never ran, Jonah should have never went the wrong way, Jonah, I want to ask you, if God asked you to go to Syria and preach to ISIS, how quick would you be on a boat going in the opposite direction? How many of you would have made airline reservations for somewhere other than where God wanted you to go? Oh God, when I heard you say Syria, I thought you said South Carolina. Amen? So I booked a flight, so I went down to South Carolina on the beaches of Hilton Head or somewhere like that, and I could have swore that's where you wanted me. I tell you, did y'all know that Hilton Head just got hit with a big old storm? Amen? I'm not as dumb as I look. Amen? So wherever you think you're going, in contrast to where God is sending you, you better be prepared for a storm to rage in your life. Some of you are sitting here this morning and you're running from God's calling on your life. You're running from what God's trying to do in your life, and you can't figure out why there is a constant storm that is brewing in your life. You can't figure out why the things won't quit churning. Why will my finances not get together? They won't get together because God won't let them get together because you're going in the wrong direction. Well, my marriage just ain't working, and my relationships just aren't working. Yeah, because you're trying to go against God, and God won't allow them to work. I can't get along at the job. I can't do this down at the job. Yeah, you know why? Because you're going in the wrong direction from God. My family, we just can't get along. Oh, my family, yeah. Guess what? You're going in the wrong direction. You've got to go with God, even when it don't make any sense. Even when it looks like it'll kill you. Even when it looks like it'll be an ultimate failure. You got to trust God more than you trust yourself. Amen. Jonah didn't do that, did he? Can I read y'all a verse? It's so cool. Look at this. Jonah chapter 3. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. I know this is a series, and we already preached some of this Wednesday, and some of you are here Wednesday saying, man, you're preaching a lot of the same stuff. Preacher, you might not know that. Believe me, I know it. This series is going to go back and forth and back and forth and everywhere in between, because I think God's got more to tell you than just going to one point and then skipping on to the next thing. Listen, I like this about Jonah, because like this, look, there were some people on that ship. They finally figured out how to deal with somebody that's running from God. Some of y'all ain't going to like me preaching this. I don't know if y'all know where I've came from. Before I was the pastor here, I've spent the last 7-8 years of dealing with people who have been ravaged by the disease, or not the disease, but the sin and the problems of addiction. And man, I don't know how to put that anyway, but the demonic, sinful nature of addiction. Y'all okay with that? I've been dealing with people like that for the last maybe 7 to 10 years of my life. Either boys or men. Amen? All right? And Jonah gives us a very good way of dealing with people like that. A blueprint, if you will. See, the sailors were in a situation where the storm was raging, and the whole storm was raging because Jonah was the one who was going out of the will of God, and it was costing them and everything. If you ever meet somebody who's running from God and maybe have an addiction in their life, or they're doing everything the wrong way, it really don't cost them as much as it does everybody else in their life. Amen, preacher, that's good preaching. See, the storm hit the people that were in the ship, and all of a sudden it said they started throwing all the stuff that was on the ship as the lighting of the ship, all the goods, all the things that were there to keep them alive, and then probably to make some money. God, preach, preacher. Amen? Listen, they had some stuff on there that was like some beans and taters and stuff like that to eat on their trip across the sea to Tarshish, right? Guess what? Sin, it'll eat that stuff up too. Anybody here dealt with somebody that's so out of balance in their life, and they're in your life, and there's a constant storage raining, and they're just eating all your good stuff up? Now, don't be honest. Yeah, just keep your head straight. Don't act like you know what I'm talking about. And every one of you just sit and go, I don't have a clue what you're saying. This is totally crazy. Okay, and I'll pretend with you too. And they just start taking all your stuff that you had to survive. They're taking that. And you can't believe it because you raised this person. You love this person. You've got more invested in their life than they do, probably. And they still keep eating your life apart. And then all of a sudden your stuff starts flying off. Amen? You see them start throwing merchandise off the ship that they were going to take to Tarshish and sell. And this is some good stuff. But they're worried about their life and they're worried about your life. So they start throwing stuff overboard. Man, I wished I had about one church member in here and say, I know exactly what you're talking about. I had collected some stuff that I was going to enjoy, but their addiction, their trouble, their pain, their storm took my stuff. And it's gone. And they don't seem to care.
storm kept raging. Because that person that wasn't supposed to be in the boat is still in the boat. I'm preaching to some of you. I don't know. I'm going to hit you right where you need to hit, I guess. All of a sudden, the one that had the storm going on, Jonah says, I know what you've got to do. You've got to chuck me out of here. And the people in the boat, the people who were trying to make Jonah be able to survive in the storm, wouldn't do it. God, I'm preaching to somebody. They started rowing harder. Have you ever rowed harder for somebody else and they were willing to row for themselves? I'm working like crazy to save you. And they're sitting over like, go ahead, keep working. You're doing so good. Hey, you might want to get on the other side of the boat and row over there a little. Golly, boom. I'm rowing for you. Yeah, but you always row for me, so keep rowing. Put your back into it. Amen? And all of a sudden, they come to the realization, wait a minute, we're wasting our time, we're wasting our effort, we're wasting our stuff, and it's killing us. Maybe we should just throw him out. Throws him out into the water and the storm stops. Oh man, never mind. I'm just going to preach until I feel like I get there. Amen? He's out of the storm stops when the person is in the water. The place that scares you to death. Oh my gosh, my son's in the water. He's all by himself. The storm stopped, but he's out there. Maybe I should do something else to save him. Maybe I should do something else to rescue him. And you know what? That ain't the answer. That's where God wanted him in the first place. He wanted you to get your hands off of him where he can get his hands on him. See, he ain't been able to fix him. He ain't been able to fix her. He ain't been able to fix the situation because you keep trying to fix it. You mean God would do that? He's doing it. He's done it. And He'll do it again. These sailors, you know, Jonah's a mess right now. Y'all know that, right? He's a total mess. But people are still getting saved. Have you ever seen God take your mess and make it a message? I got to thinking about this in verse 16. Check this out. Verse 16, these are sailors. Y'all remember them? You know who sailors are, right? I told you it was Wednesday. He cusses like a sailor. I said it again. That's the third time. He cusses like a sailor. They got that from these kind of guys. See, these guys were watching Jonah being punished, being disciplined, being corrected by an almighty God. And it blew them away. See, you would have think that would have made them run from God. See, in this little sugar world we live in, this cotton candy kind of world we live in, this what we call the PC culture we live in now, we think discipline's going to hurt somebody. Don't spank them, kids, because you'll hurt them and scar them. Listen, you wear their little tail ends out where they'll know that's wrong. Amen? Somebody said, how do you know you ain't supposed to take something that don't belong to you? Because my daddy broke me off when I took something that didn't belong to me. Amen? So you could lay a crisp $100 bill in front of me. I ain't taking it. Because it ain't mine. Amen? You good? In the midst of God disciplining Jonah, in the midst of it, look at this. Y'all won't believe me. And some of you will sit there and go, I'm going to go again. Just hang with me. Well, listen. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Before you get saved, you got to get lost. Amen? Ain't nobody in here going to get saved until you understand you're lost and you start fearing God. The fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. Y'all understand that? There's people out there, you're scared of everything. Spiders, snakes, heights, closed in spaces and everything else, but you ain't afraid of God. You need to drop all them fears and fear the one thing that's gotten control of everything in your future, amen? Especially your eternal destination. Amen. The men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Y'all, I love that. It says it different than the way we get saved, but it's good. Amen? Can I preach right here for a minute? Would y'all mind? I don't really care if you say yes or no. Amen? But I'll preach anyway. Check this out. He says, he offered up sacrifice. You know what? You can't sacrifice anything to a God you don't believe in. Somebody said, well, the Old Testament says sacrifice. Yeah, sacrifice. Because guess what? When you offered a sacrifice, something that cost you something to God, you were saying you're God. Y'all good right there? So you know what they did? I don't know what. Now listen, I want y'all to get here with me. What did they sacrifice? They threw everything off the boat. They didn't. I mean, they didn't start a bonfire on a boat, did they? Worst thing you could do is set a fire on a boat. Not smart. Amen? So maybe gave them a sacrifice of their heart. Amen? I don't care if it's a tangible thing. I don't care. But God, he don't really care how much stuff you give him if you don't give him your heart first. Amen? So they sacrifice praise. Oh, God, you're the God of the ocean. This thing we've been sailing on, and we just thought we were great sailors. We thought we were in charge of everything. We thought we had power. You're the wind in our sails. Amen. You're the current that pushes us along the way. We offer praise to you. You're God. Amen. My favorite part. David's my favorite part. And then they made vows. You know what vows are, aren't you? Remember when you got married? Made some vows, didn't you? Until death do us part. Amen? Yeah. Or until that first year of marriage comes in. Amen. Same difference. Amen? Until the check comes in for the first year, Rick. Remember? Remember when you first got married? Can we eat out? Sure. Sure. Can we go here? Sure. Sure. Just put it on the card. You want something? Yeah. You want something? Yeah. Let's get something. God, I'm preaching to somebody. Amen. Let's get something. I'm a ging. And at the year. Oh, Melissa, don't you look at me. Listen. Hey. At the year, right? Praise God, when the year comes in and the bill's coming, you're in debt and you can't get no more credit. You. Look. Closet's full of you. You look at that garage, them tools, you. Got it? Mason, but I love you until death to us part, in sickness and in health. Unless you get real sick, I have to take care of you. 70% of all marriages end if a person gets a life-threatening disease that you have to take care of them. And that strands across Christian lines and unbelievers as well. Disabilitating disease or sickness, 75% ends in divorce. You can get sick, but don't get real sick. That's why God compares salvation and heaven more to marriage than any other thing. As man, we messed it up. We made the little infinite details. We tried to make the details of it, this little thing or that little thing. God says, I'm going to compare it to this. I love you, and I'm your husband, and I have gave you something. I have made a vow. Golly, I'm preaching. I made a vow. You know what I did? I went to Calvary, and I carried all your flaws and all your sin and all your mess and all the ordinances. I'll preach about that too. All the ordinances and all the laws against you. You know we had more than sin against us when Jesus went to Calvary. Oh, somebody said, what are you talking about, preacher? See, I'm glad God died for my sins, but I'm glad he died for the law and the ordinances too. Because you know what he did? When he died for those law and ordinances, he died for the things that I couldn't complete myself. I couldn't keep the law and I couldn't keep the ordinances. I couldn't sacrifice. I couldn't go to the priest. I didn't even have a high priest. I'm a Gentile. If I'd have went into a temple and said, I need a sacrifice, they said, what's your name? My name's Kevin Shelton. They said, you're a Gentile. Get out of here. You're disgusting. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm preaching, Melvin. This is good stuff. Hold on to it. Amen. Check this out. But God said, you know what? I'm gonna adopt you. Oh man. Oh man. I'm gonna adopt you. You know what's cool about adoption? Is you get to pick the kid. Some of you in here said amen. Some of you said, I ain't going to say amen because my kids might figure out the fact that I didn't get to pick them. But But there's a different kind of adoption. I want to talk to you about two different kinds of adoption. The one kind of adoption is you go and pick out the kid that you wanted, the right hair color, the right eye color, the right everything. I'm talking about you wanted that child. I tell you, you can pick the outside, but you can't pick the inside sometimes. Amen. But God don't adopt that way. God adopts through this thing called grace. You know what He does? He picks the kids that nobody else wants. I got a friend of mine who adopted a little girl from, I think it's China, and where they found her was near a dump. They didn't find her because she lived near a dump. They found her there because she was dumped there. And you know what? She adopted her. You know why? Grace. She looked at her and said, you know what? You ain't got a good mom and daddy. You don't look like me. You don't look like the perfect child for me. You know what you look like? You look like somebody who needs a mama. You look like somebody who needs a daddy. You look like somebody else would throw away, but you look like somebody to me that we can make something out of. I hate to tell you, but everybody in this room, you were on the dump pile of life, and God came by and said, look like you need a daddy. These guys made some vows. These sailors made some vows. They said, God, if you'd have us, man, y'all ain't even, if you'd have us, Chase, you know what they're talking about? They're talking about getting hooked up with God, even though they seen God just wear a boy out. Because sometimes you can see the love in somebody who's willing to discipline somebody compared to somebody who's not willing to discipline somebody. See, when I played high school sports, my dad left when I was at a young age. My mom had several jobs, so she wouldn't make it to all my sporting events, so I could do whatever I wanted to. I'm just going to be honest. That's my childhood. I did whatever I want to do. But I had a good friend of mine. His daddy would correct him in every way possible. I remember we were getting ready for one game, and we had two kinds of shoes. We had three-quarter tops and high-top basketball shoes. And everybody on the team loved the three-quarter shoes because we were cool because we was wearing them. Never mind. Some of you boys in the back say, hey, man, it's stuff like that. Some of you guys act like you don't know what I'm talking about. And they're like, yeah, anyway, yeah, Chris, you. Hey, man. In the locker room, look at them shoes, look at them shoes. My friend would always look over and they'd have the high tops on every time. I'm like, why don't you got them high tops? Get them ugly things off, man. They look like boots. Get them off. He's like, I can't wear the three-quarter shoes. My daddy will wear me out. I said, is he here? He said, it don't matter if he's here. He had to watch the tape. And he's got some other people in the audience that will tell him. My uncles will tell on me. My aunts will tell on me. They said, why is that, man? Because he wants me to go to college and play sports. He cares about me. He cares about my future. And he says them little three-quarters will break your ankle, and he don't want them to wear them. And my punk-headed self, man, your daddy's it's just stupid. Can't wear your own shoes. I wear whatever shoes I want to wear. But down here, in my heart, I was like, man, your daddy cares about him. His daddy worries about his future. He's worried about how he's going to do 5 years from now and 10 years from now and 6 years from now or 20 years from now. He's worried about his future. See, God's worried about your future. He don't really care much about you right now. He's worried about your eternal future. He's worried about how you're going to be 10 years from now. So he's looking out for you. You know what them sailors, they were living like sailors and they were living mighty free. But all of a sudden they seen a father who corrected his child. He said, I am a child of God. Remember when he said that? I am a child of God. Man, sometimes somebody will get jealous of your relationship with God because how He'll treat you when you do something wrong. And they'll get saved. These sailors are getting saved because they've seen the correcting hand of God. See, some of y'all think about getting saved. The only thing is y'all just going to be free and just love and just run, do whatever you want to. No, you get a daddy. You get a holy godly father that when you mess up, he will step right in and do the right thing. Amen. Woo! And the lost people look at it and go, man. They'll say, you can't have no fun, you ain't got no life. But in their heart, they're going, man, I yearn for that. I yearn for someone who cares. I yearn for somebody who's going to be involved in my life. I'm yearning for 10,000 years as it just begun. Never mind. Ain't that, Chase, that's how Amazing Grace goes, ain't it? As 10,000 years as it just begun? Could you imagine after 10,000 years you're in glory and God comes up to you and says, Kevin, you remember when I chastised you that time down there for doing that thing you did? Yeah, I did. Yeah, God, I remember that one. Remember when I corrected you and you was going the wrong way and I got you to go the right way? Yeah. Remember when you tried to do it your way and I got you to do it my way? Yes, Lord, I remember all those times. It's 10,000 years that's just begun. You glad? Oh, yes, Lord. I just realized we're in glory. Y'all good right there? Check this out. Golly, how many verses are we got now? Two. Verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. His God. Check this out. Jonah's out there in the water and he's just floating, right? That's where we left him. The people on the boat are up there having a fit going, man, maybe we shouldn't have threw him off. Oh gosh, I feel so bad. This is terrible. Jonah's like, man, can't get much worse than this. Tried to run from God. And here I am. Can't get much worse than this. I'm in the middle of the ocean, all by my lonesome. Can't get much worse than this. And then God does something nuts. Hey, well, could you do me a favor? I don't know if he did that. I don't know if he... God don't have a cell phone. Never mind. Maybe it's like... You ever seen that movie, what is it? Nemo? Come on. Come here, little guy. Come on, man. Some of you Nemos better get into this thing. I wish little Chloe was here. She'd be like, hallelujah, praise God. He got Nemo in there. Amen. Check this out. That old whale sitting there going, we need, Lord. We need. I got a guy over here. He's trying to run from me. And he thinks he's gone as low as he can go. But I want you to take him a little lower. When you think, man, God, life, all right, Lord. Have you ever had you? No, come on. Come on, David. Listen. See, my mom used to say, if you don't quit, I'm going to whoop you. I'm like, okay, Mom. Go ahead. If you don't quit, Kevin, I'm going to whoop you. Go ahead. You're 5'4". Woo! Go ahead. I'm going to tell your daddy. No! Wait a minute. Stop. Time out. That's excessive force and it's not needed. Amen. Because you didn't say, ooh, go ahead. You said, Dad, stop. Because I ain't even started yet. Man. God ain't even began. God prepared a well. If you ain't ever been to the ocean, this it seems big to you. Amen? A well seems big. When I say well, you think it's big, but in the ocean, it's small. In the ocean, that's a small thing. In God's eyes, that's a small thing. He said, hey, do me a favor. Run over here. I don't know what wells do. I know they run in packs. They probably talk. They're smart. They're wise. But when God tells them to do something, they do everything that God tells. God's in control of everything. God can make nature do things that nature don't want to do. Well, it's like, I don't want to go, but I'll go because God said to. I don't want to swallow a man, but I will because God wants to. Hey, some scientists that are saying, whales can't swallow. Yeah, whales can't swallow a human being unless God says to swallow it. Amen? Amen? A human couldn't survive in the belly of a whale. It will if God wants it to. Somebody said, we'll have a problem with the whale situation. Well, why don't you have a problem with God walking on water? Amen? I hate to tell you, if it ain't frozen, water's hard to walk on. It's hard to get it together. I love that scripture, don't you? And he came walking in the water in the storm. Amen? I got a message for that. I love that all the time. You know, water wasn't supposed to let him walk on it, but water said, this is God, and we'll just do what we ain't supposed to do. We just hold him up. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I wonder if all the other elements was like, what are you doing? Hey, this is different. This is the one that created us. We won't let nobody else walk on us, but we got to let him because he's king. Amen. And everything bows down to the king. I'll preach on, like, listen, people, all these earth lovers, tree huggers, all these people about the earth, and we're destroying. Listen, God's like, hey, you can't destroy something I made. I'm in charge of this thing. I created it. I'm in charge of it. Amen? Somebody said, well, I believe in global warming. Well, I do too. Now, some of you are skeptical. Some of you right now are looking at me like, I don't like you. I believe in global warming. The Bible's all for it. One day, God's going to destroy this thing with fire. It's going to get as hot as it can get. Man, I hate, that's it. So, somebody told me that one time. I was sitting with them. I said, you don't believe in global warming? You don't believe we need to be stewards of our country and our world? I was like, absolutely. Man, I'm all for it, right? Like, you don't believe we're going to destroy the world if we keep going? I'm like, no. Huh? You just said you believe in it. I said, I believe we should be good stewards. I believe we should take care of our earth. I believe all that stuff. But let me tell you this. We ain't going to mess it up. I know who one is, oh God. Do you know him? I said, do you believe in God? They said, yeah. I said, do you believe he's in control of everything? Yeah. Do you believe when it says in the end, I'm going to burn this whole earth up, make it new? She's like, well, yeah. I'm like, well, stop worrying about pollution and start worrying about your soul being turned to God. Amen. Y'all good? All right. Stay with me just for another moment. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. I cried, and thou heardest my voice. Let's all stand as they come get a song. Listen, I want to preach this right here. Come tonight and get the rest of this message, okay? Or the next part of this series. Listen to this. God doesn't mind to take you down or take you to a lower place to get you to talk to Him the right way. Amen? Some of you right now in this room are in a very low place in your life. Maybe you got somebody that's got addiction problems in your life. Maybe you got some things that are out of balance. Maybe you got some issues in your marriage. Maybe there's a lot of things going on and you can't figure out why it seems like you're going down, down, down. Maybe it's the time that God's trying to pull you to Him and He wants you to talk to Him like He talked to Jonah. Amen. Jonah says, Lord, the reason of my affliction, I'm being afflicted right now. And I know it's coming from You. Amen? And the reason you're afflicting me, the reason you got me where you want me right now, is you want me to cry out to You. I'm tired of going down. I want to go up. I'm tired of feeling like my life is spiraling out of control. God, can You put some control in it? And you'll be surprised that God can change your trajectory. He can change you from going down to going up. So if you're in a place where you're running from God, or your life just seems pretty low, why don't you come up here and seek Him with all your heart and see what He can do about the matter. As they play, come pray if you need to.